misfit son.
And while we are talking about websites and Facebook pages, let me tell you where you can find more information on these Western Wisconsin women running for assembly seats on Facebook. For Patty Schachner, you'd look for Patty for Wisconsin. For Allison Page, it would be Allison Page for Wisconsin State Assembly District 93. For Danielle Johnson, Danielle, the number 4, WI. And Sarah Yacoub, as we've long established on the Wednesday night show, can be found at Wis Mama Bear, because that Mama Bear image works. And we've talked to several others. Let's see, Christina Shelton. Who else were we talking to recently? And it basically is this is the year that moms, wives, and daughters, I mean, you've got busy lives already, Sarah, but you're stepping up anyway.
Exactly. There's too much on the line.
Mm-hmm. So this is a world now where we talk about your Facebook pages, and of course that invites all the usual toxicity that can come in the comment section. So you'd think where this would really happen better in any democracy would be through forums, through debates, through things like that. Sarah, any word on whether you're going to get to debate Shannon Zimmerman?
So I had an interesting conversation. Paul Rohde is quite the force locally. He owns a few restaurants, does a lot of really great charitable work in the community. And I reached out to him and he said, well, are you going to debate Shannon? And I said, well, I'd love to, but he won't debate me. And he said, well, why not? And I said, well, because he's chicken, and feel free to give him a hard time about it. And he graciously offered to host a debate at the FIPS. So I told him, name the time and place, or we know the place, but name the time, I'll be there. But if 2020 is any indication, I don't anticipate Shannon's going to show up.
All right. How about the rest of you, Patty? Any forums scheduled yet?
The only thing I have scheduled is with the Wisconsin Polk County Towns Association. In October, and I'm not quite sure how it's going to work. They reached out to me, but they're going to send me the questions and my opponent the questions. We send them the answers, I believe, and then somehow it'll be just kind of a prepared nothing on the spot about town business. So, but you know, I'll take it how I can get it. I would love to have a lot of debate and stuff, but the Republicans won't step up to the plate to do that because they don't want to be held accountable to their words, and it shows.
Allison, what's your situation?
Again, I'm willing to debate anybody, anywhere, anytime, and I absolutely think the public deserves that. I did just hear the League of Women Voters was planning a forum, the Chippewa Valley League of Women Voters. And I heard back from them last night that my opponent, Warren Petrick, has declined to participate. So then therefore they won't have an empty chair. So that then I am not able to participate in that forum. They will, however, they'll do a videotape of any candidate and use that on their website. I'm imagining that Warren Petrick is a very busy man. I know he sings the national anthem at many, many different locations, and perhaps he's booked up and too busy to participate in democracy. I'm not sure about that. There's also going to be a forum over by Eau Claire, the energy and construction, I think, a forum. I plan to participate in that. And then Wisconsin Public Radio is doing interviews and video or audio taping. And I think they'll be playing some of that information on the radio, but not any kind of a back and forth dialogue with my opponent.
And then finally, Danielle, how about you?
Yeah, that's interesting, Allison, to hear that you got a decline. So the same organization, the Chippewa Valley League of Women Voters, I responded to their request. I have not gotten a decline from Clint Moses yet, but I also am not really expecting, I hope I have the opportunity to debate Clint Moses. In fact, I saw him at the Dunn County Fair, and I was at the booth at the Dunn County Fair. He walked by and he came over and introduced himself. And I was very appreciative that we had a very pleasant exchange. As he was walking away, I said, I'll be ready to debate you anytime. I thought I saw a visible cringe, but then he did not turn around and take me up on the, on that offer. So I have officially thrown down the gauntlet. But I'm hoping for a response, because I'm ready to do that anytime.
And Sarah, you had something similar in that, you know, with the local newspaper, because Shannon Zimmerman didn't return the questionnaire, then they just didn't do anything at all. So it's essentially that either these groups or these media outlets are letting Republicans suppress your ability to get a message out.
Well, and it's not just our ability to get a message out, but they aren't answering to the public. They're not answering to the voters. And that is being insulated by entities that don't print the representative or the candidate declined to participate. So when they decide not to hold the debate with the empty chair or not run answers against non-answers, it really insulates corrupt, lazy politicians who don't have to answer to anyone. And it's really a disservice to the public.
This is something that we've really first started to notice in 2010, the Tea Party year, when Republicans decided to, by and large, stay within their own media bubble, control their own message. Allison, your example is spot on that, oh, well, you can send a video. In a video, nobody holds you to account. Nobody asks follow-up questions. Those are commercials. And so I feel like, especially being back in media, we have properly moved the balance off of the candidates and onto these groups. And if you are a group out there looking to start one of these or host one of these, you need to follow through all the way. And that means having the empty chair. Or that means if you're a newspaper, and I know white space scares you, but you put a big block of white space right next to Sarah's answers, because they did not do your readers the courtesy of responding. And I'll talk about this on Friday more with Mark Jacob from formerly of the Chicago Tribune and Sun-Times. But the Cleveland Plain Dealer yesterday put a big white box there with an X through it to show how they were not going to cover something with J.D. Vance and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis visiting because of all the preconditions they put on it. And Patty, I know that you can't possibly get to every door in the district, but it's tough enough to get media coverage in Western Wisconsin as being part of the Twin Cities market without having groups or media outlets not be as forceful in trying to get both candidates to be forthcoming with their voters.
Well, I think it's really frustrating when I didn't know this. Let me backtrack a little bit. I didn't know this really until I became a senator, how politically leaning different media outlets were in the local newspapers and how, because you pay attention to your local newspapers. For us, it was part of the River Towns group, and then the New Richmond News went away, and we don't have local media. We just don't. So then you start paying attention to some of these smaller media outlets, and their political views are clearly on their editorial page, on how they cover events. And it does not do our communities, nor does it do democracy any favors, because folks don't know what's going on. And again, if you look at legislatively, if you are in the majority party and you have written, 100 pieces of legislation, and 100, and of those 100, only 4 make it into law, and then you say the Democrats are causing the problem, what you're doing is writing legislation to get vetoed. That is not your job. Your job is to collaborate with everybody and write policy that helps people. And when you're writing policy to get vetoed, you're playing politics and you're not playing policy.
Well said. Let's get to policy then, Allison, and talk about what things you would want to be proactive on. And, let's go ahead and live the fantasy that you might still be in the minority, but that majority Republicans will be better at giving collaboration a go and giving bills some public hearings. What kinds of things would you like to propose, and what kinds of things would you think could possibly turn out to be bipartisan to a degree? What would you tell the voters you're going to work on?
I think first and foremost would be healthcare, access to healthcare and access to reproductive rights. That's got to be job one. That's a number one freedom that is being taken away from the people of Wisconsin and reverting to an 1849 law that was written by a bunch of men when women couldn't even have the right to vote. And it was legal back then to rape your wife. So what the heck? So that has to be job one, I think, would be a priority. And I actually do think that there's an opportunity to collaborate with people on that. The vast majority of people in Wisconsin think that abortion should be legal, at least in some cases. So beyond that, the threats we're facing with our environment and forever chemicals, something has to be done about this to preserve our water, air, and soil for future generations. Priority three, I think, is our education system. If you look at what's happened in the last 10 years that my opponent's been in office in Madison, there hasn't been an increase in investment in education when more and more we need to have children get to adulthood with that emotional resilience, knowledge, and skills to be able to compete. And then I would say, lastly, the thing that's on all of our minds is the state of our democracy. This is just simply not acceptable to have people elected who are not collaborating to make good things happen for Wisconsin. So a priority of mine would be to go to Madison and infuse the professionalism and the grace and the decorum that we should expect of all our elected officials and be a model for that and try to transform that culture.
Danielle, from a small business standpoint, what do you say to those who say that a lot of small business owners have been strong or lean Republican people over the years? What are they getting in return versus what you would like to see a legislature do for small businesses in Wisconsin?
Well, yeah, right now it's incredibly hard to find workers to work in the, you know, in the, and everyone's feeling the pinch. I'm feeling the pinch. And so so on the state level, the legislature could do a lot to help small business owners. If I had the ability to make sure that my employees had an affordable place to live and someone reliable to take care of their children for an affordable price, we would get people into the workforce. But if a good paying job doesn't allow you even a place to live and care for your children, how can we expect a thriving economy?
Sarah, the governor unveiled a plan for what he would do with a record surplus that Republicans are sitting on, locking away and hoping to spend on tax cuts geared toward the higher incomes for next year. And the governor's program includes tax cuts, but for working families, but also that assistance for veterans, for caregivers, for daycare. Is there a chance that that kind of targeted use of the surplus will resonate with the people you're talking to rather than just Republicans waving tax cut? And it's all summed up in two words and people, you know, gravitate toward that instead?
So the short answer is yes. You know, Republicans don't campaign on giving our tax dollars to the U-lines and other billionaires in Wisconsin. They actually sell themselves as Democrats in substance, if you listen to what they're saying. But, you know, as we are facing a period in history characterized by inflation, we curb that inflation by growing the economy. And we grow the economy by freeing up the middle class, the working class, growing that class and giving them the freedom to live their lives. So whether that is the freedom to take the job that they want with affordable housing and healthcare, I really admire that Governor Evers is working hard to reduce taxes for working families. I think the number was 10%, which would be huge. But, you know, Governor Evers has just done such a nice job of exemplifying the leadership that all of these women with us today, but that Allison was talking about, of putting people before politics. You know, so when the Democrats had the legislature, 40% roughly of the bills saw the light of day. That doesn't happen with the current leadership.
No, it certainly doesn't. And hopefully things could change with some good people like you being successful next time around. Sarah Yacoub, Patty Schachner, Allison Page, Daniel Johnson. Thank you so much. It was great. We'll check in with you a little later on and hopefully be able to talk to you as incumbents somewhere down the road here. Thanks again.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks. Thank you. It was fun.
Great seeing you all. We will be back to wrap up this hour next year. Up north. Strong woman, yeah, I need a good strong.